of these as we can. And today is Celebration Sunday. And I want to let you know, when I was meeting with people after lunch, you know, those pizzas with Larry, one of the suggestions was, hey, I'd like to hear more testimonies. I'd like to hear more about what God is doing in people's lives. And so we decided, let's do a Celebration Sunday. Let's take a Sunday where we do nothing but sing and worship. That means I don't preach. But we take some time to just focus on Jesus, just holy with our whole spirit, and just celebrate him. So we want to welcome you. We want to welcome those who are online as well. And I have a question for our online audience and also for you who are here that may know somebody who's concerned about coming because they have maybe a compromised condition or they're concerned about the situation they might be in. We're considering taking a section and making it a social friendly section. In other words, a little bit of social distancing between the chairs, make it a little bit more safe for those who might have a concern about that. And so if you know somebody that has a concern there, or if you are one of the people who are watching online and you're not quite ready to come to church yet because you want to be careful about your safety there, that we're looking at doing that. And if that's of interest to you, if that would be helpful to you, because we'd love to see your faces, just drop an email to office@riverwoodonline.org and let us know what your concerns are, what your needs might be. Well, I'll let you know about a few things that are happening here. And boy, you women, that's kind of a weird way to say it, boy, you women have some great opportunities coming. And that is, there is a women's retreat. And your final chance to sign up is this Friday. You won't want to miss that. And I'm assured from Renee, it's going to be fantastic. So, you know, us guys can just go, all right, good. We get to be with the kids. You get to have fun. Go for it. And so I think that'll be a great time. Also, there's a women's book club, Mama Bear Apologetics, Empowering Your Kids to Challenge Cultural Lies. Wow. Is this ever a good time for that kind of study? So women, get at that. You register online and you can pick up a book at the women's ministry table. Speaking of ministry tables, you might have noticed when you came in, there are a bunch of ministry tables out there because we want to let you know of all the great things that are happening here at Riverwood and all the things that are in your heart that have yet to happen. So we want to get you involved in that and get you excited about that. Finally, I just want to let you know about a study that Marlo's kicked off called Families Where Grace is in Place. This is a book written by Jeff Van Vonderen, and I know Jeff. I've worked with him at a church, at Grace Church in Edina for a while, and he is a fantastic guy and has packed loads of information in here. And if the things that I mentioned in my sermon last week, if they struck your heart in terms of you're sensing some shame perhaps in your own life that you needed to work on, as I did, this is a great way to begin. And you can just drop in tonight. Marlo's going to be reprising session one, so you won't miss a thing. Come for that. And then next week, I'm kicking off a new sermon series, and that is Moments of Grace. So we're going to be looking at four different encounters in the New Testament where grace came in a surprising way, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with you beginning next week. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for allowing us to be alive to enjoy it. And so, Lord, we want to just give all of our heart here to you today. We want to just express our joy in who you are and our thanks for your love for us. And so as we celebrate you today, may we bring honor through our lips, through our hearts, through our minds, and through our interactions with one another. In Jesus' name.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all, it's your breath in our lungs, so we
Well, good morning. Let's go ahead and return to our seats. And I'm just going to share a word of testimony myself. Last week's message from Larry really is kind of where God's been working in my life for the last year, to live like a child of God. And what a strange thought that as a Christian for 41 years, I haven't always lived like a child of God, believing lies that this enemy would put in my head and things like that. So in the past year especially, I feel like God's been working this into my life. And what does that look like? Maybe to understand what that looks like is what it doesn't look like is performance. We can never measure up to a holy God, for one thing, and we're not always going to meet other people's expectations for another. And when we live that way, we're going to probably experience guilt at times and shame because we don't measure up. It pushes us to try harder or possibly even just give up on the goal of living for the Lord. But God sees us this way if we are his child in Christ. He sees us as beloved. He sees us as righteous. He sees us as saints. And though we are short of perfect, he looks at us in love. It looks like acceptance. Another side of not living like a child of God is we look to other people to fulfill things in us, our needs, our expectations. We look to other people that, and for things that only God is intended to fulfill. And consequently, we put pressure on people, and we manipulate other people, and we try to get what we need out of other people that only God has ever meant to supply and fulfill in us. So, living like a child of God, it's really something that God's been working in my life. It helps to keep me in peace and contentment, and my satisfaction, it all comes from him. So I'm grateful to God that he's working in me more fully to realize what he's been, that I'm a child of God and how freeing it is, and to better realize that my Father in heaven sees me in Jesus and sees you in Jesus if you are his child. We've taken off the old, but on the new, he sees us in his righteousness. His righteousness is credited to our account. Our Father in heaven looks at us and smiles.
As part of this celebration service, we wanted to celebrate offering. Many of us know that during the COVID season, we kind of stopped passing out a plate, right? Stopped doing that. But we do have ways that we still give, and we're not going to pass a plate today. But there's the boxes right at the back for those of you who want to give and contribute to this ministry. If you're blessed by what's happening here, we sure want to say thank you for those gifts. Those of you who have been faithful all this time, thank you again for those gifts. There's also a box that's always at the information table as well. The other way is we can give online and through the church app. Looking outside here today, we see also a lot of gifts that are being given to really help others in great time of need, these Afghan refugees. And so thank you for all of you who have participated. I mean, you look in this hallway, there's a lot of things there. And Jim and Becky Goodwin are going to be bringing these later on today up to be delivered to these people, and Christians and Muslims alike. And we want to pray today that those who are Muslim, who would understand Jesus as Esau, actually, in the Quran, that they would see Esau for who he really is, as the Son of God. And through these gifts and our demonstration of using our wealth and our overabundance to help others, hopefully they would see the heart of Jesus. I wanted to bring our attention with in God's people, the Jewish people, as God would work with them. They oftentimes he'd say, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in Malachi 3, and considering offering this morning, as we consider this and we celebrate it, he mentioned this. He told them, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room in it. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I remember when I first heard this, and we don't always practice maybe always the tithe. Some will say, well, that's not a New Testament thing. That was an Old Testament thing. But actually, the New Testament actually says to give everything, to give it all, to give everything. It's beyond this tithe. But I remember when I read this, I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to put you to the test. And I didn't have the money. When I looked at my check, when I'd get my check, I was working at a factory at the time, and I'm like, okay, but I'm going to test. He said, it's one of the only spots. He says, test me in this. See that I will not do these things. So I started writing the check, and I couldn't give it. I'd get that, say, $400 check, and $40 had to get it written out, but I had my bill. So I'd put that check away and put it up in the cupboard. And then pretty soon I'd have about a stack of 10 or so checks sitting in my cupboard, and I'm like, hey, my checkbook balanced. Those of you, there used to be a thing called checkbook. But it balanced out, and so I'm like, I can give them. So I would give like 10 checks at a time. Pretty soon it was 6 checks and 5 checks and 4 checks, 3. Eventually, it just was like clockwork. And God just showed me in that time, and he showed my wife too. She began later, much later, doing this. She goes, I just see him blessed. I don't get it. And I began tithing for the both of us. After I was just tithing off my checks, I started tithing for her as the head of the house. I wanted to tithe for our family. And we've just seen so much blessing in that, and just giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, I love this passage. It says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will only get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will also get a generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we just thank you so much for these gifts that we see out in the hallway going to these people who desperately need to see you, first and foremost, to see a demonstration of your love. Lord, I pray that your heart and your spirit would move through the people who deliver these gifts to these people who are in such desperate need, Lord. And I pray that they would see your heart. They would see the hands and feet of Jesus coming to them. I pray that those who are Muslim, Lord, would truly see you as the Son of God, the true Son of God. They would see Esau as Jesus, the Son of the living God, not just a prophet, but the greatest one ever, the one who is there at the beginning of all creation, through whom all things were made, through him, for him, and by him, that all things might find their purpose in him. Lord, we lay our hearts before you today, and we thank you for your abundant grace and our provision in our lives. All things belong to you, and we offer our whole selves to you this morning. We offer our time, our talents, and our possessions to be used for your glory and for your purposes, that our sowing may reap a harvest of souls for your kingdom. We lay it all down at your feet. Amen.
Morning. I've been asked to pray for the body, for the search team, for our lead pastor, and for the ministries of Riverwood. And we have a little ministries fair afterwards where you can kind of check out different things that are going on and check if that's something that would inspire you to get involved in any of them. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I praise you for all you have done for us, even when we don't deserve it. I pray for everyone in this room, those watching at home, those that are currently unable to attend. I pray that you fill us all with your Spirit and give us peace amidst our earthly worries in order that we may focus more on you. Our greatest commands are to love the Lord and to love one another. I pray that everyone who knows you continues to grow that relationship and share it with others. I pray that when we interact with others, we do so in a manner that honors you, Lord. I pray that you are our guide as we strengthen our relationships with our families, our coworkers, our neighbors, and even people that are hard to get along with. Dear Lord, I lift the future of our church to you. Our search team has been working hard to portray Riverwood openly and thoughtfully to a list of potential candidates. I pray that you have placed your calling to our future pastor and that they are hearing the call. You are uniquely qualified to know what we need and when. You've always seemed to provide us with exactly that. So many prayers have been made on behalf of this process. I know you hear them. I'm excited to see what you have in store for us. Finally, I pray, Lord, that you bless the ministries of Riverwood. For our men's and women's ministries, may you encourage the development of godly men and women who grow and serve together. For our children's and youth ministries, may you equip our parents with the resources and partners they need for our children to learn God's word. And as they grow, may they have confidence and comfort to share about their relationship with you so that others can know about your love for us. For the Unfolding and Care Ministries, may you help new attenders to Riverwood connect with others and find opportunities to deepen their relationship with Christ. May we express your love by caring for our members as needs arise. Give strength and peace to those in need. For our local and global outreach missions ministries, may you use Riverwood as your hands and feet to serve others through us, from the Treehouse program locally to the Quechua Initiative in Peru and everywhere in between. Bless all of our missionaries as they share the good news. For our equipping and development ministries, may you continue to bless Riverwood with leaders like Larry and Willie, who are passionate about developing the next wave of disciples. May the enthusiasm to serve come from the joy of serving you, and may that enthusiasm spread to others. For our worship and online campus ministries, may you honor the efforts of the worship team as they praise you and prepare hearts to hear your word. May you continue to guide our technical efforts as we reach out digitally to those who are unable to attend. Allow them, too, to feel connected and filled with your Spirit. For our Connect Group ministries, may you use these extensions of Sunday services to develop a sense of community and unity of vision amongst our body. Make these gatherings a safe place for people to open up to each other, share their vulnerabilities, look for opportunities to grow deeper in faith, and pray for each other. For our finance ministries, may you provide resources necessary to sustain our current ministries and for future growth. And a final pitch for all of our ministry teams, please place a calling in all of our hearts to find a niche where we can serve with joy, whether it's greeting people as they enter the church or something a little more behind the scenes, but equally important, we are all gifted some way and can feel great about using those gifts for your glory. Lord, be with us and guide us as we navigate our days and weeks ahead. In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you. Last spring, I felt the stirrings in my spirit that God was calling me to a new assignment, one that would require faith and obedience and action. And I really sought his word and prayer and was looking at my circumstances. I know he speaks through circumstances, and also some divine appointments. So I am here standing in front of you today to tell you about that experience with God and what he's calling me out of and into. Last April, I did an Elijah Bible study with some women, and we were studying the verse, 1 Kings 17:3, which says, "Go away from here and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan." There's three directives in that verse. Go away from here, turn, and hide. We were to ask the Holy Spirit to spotlight any ways where God was asking you to go away from, to relocate, and to reposition yourself in some way. And I could feel like that quickening in my spirit. You know what I'm talking about? My heart was beginning to race. I just knew the Lord was about to speak to me through this. The follow-up question was, what direction have you felt the Spirit turning you toward? And boom, the Lord spoke to me and direction came. It was one of those light bulb moments. You see, I've been praying for years about how I could help my parents as they age. My mom has severe rheumatoid arthritis and is fully dependent on my dad providing all of the care for her, and they have been in their home independent living. My dad's 84. He has mild dementia and analysis paralysis, which means he can't make decisions. So could it be, Lord, that you are calling me to move in with my parents and to help them? So I really dove into these three directives. The first one, go away from here. So when the Spirit whispered this directive, I sense a rise of conviction in my soul, kind of compelling me to leave behind the places that I didn't necessarily want to leave, which was Cannon Falls and Riverwood Church. The second directive was turn. So the Lord began to show me a new direction and a goal to pivot toward. This clarity, it wasn't immediate, but he began reorientating my heart in a new direction through my circumstances. And about this time, it was, I would say, early May, my parents called me up, asked me to come meet with them, and then they asked me if I would consider moving in with them to help them with their daily responsibilities and care. And so this was affirmation to me clearly that I had heard the Lord correctly and he was moving. The third directive was hide. I had to immerse myself in what he was teaching me through scripture and through my quiet times and my devotions. Some of the pieces of scripture were Deuteronomy 1, 6, and 7. You've stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey. And from Isaiah, I will lead blind Renee into a new place that she does not know. and many, many more. And I also, this one was tough. I also had to fully rid myself from the idols that had been making me kind of half-hearted in obedience and my desire to go. There were two of them, my home and my independence. And I was having a really hard time letting go of these things. You see, my home, I am currently renting this little peaceful place in a country setting way out in the boonies. I actually had a sign made that said, "Welcome to the Blessing," because I just love this place so much. I had good intentions to eventually move in with my parents, but I didn't want to leave my home in order to do it. So the truth is, half obedience to God is actually complete disobedience. Good intentions aren't obedience. So the Lord showed me that. And then the second thing was my independence. Just moving in with your parents again, and I'm 55, and I'm homeschooling my kids, and you know, just all of that came into it. And how, Lord, how can I do this? So all of this was going on in my spirit and in the background even before the real crisis came with my mom. And then on June 15th, I was on vacation in Montana with my two boys and my sisters and their families when we got the call. My mom was not getting blood flow to her lower leg and foot, and they were going to go in and try and save her leg. Two more surgeries later, 2 months later, and many, many, many complications, the doctors could not save her leg in the end, and she had a below-the-knee amputation in August. But I want to stop right here and pause this testimony and give Riverwood Church and the Prayer Warriors a heartfelt thank you for all of your prayers. They were felt, they strengthened me, they encouraged me, and they gave me perseverance. So thank you for that. Where are we at now? My mom is in a rehab center. She cannot come home. It's very clear right now. She needs to go to assisted living. Right now, in order to transfer and move, she's on a ceiling lift, and she flies through the air to get to where she needs to be. She says she's a trapeze artist. My dad is going to be going with her into assisted living and help with her care. He wants to be with her. So I am currently in the process of moving to my parents' home to become the caretaker of their home, as well as be closer to help them with their daily responsibilities and manage health care and all that comes along with it. So in a way, this was the Lord's answer to prayer for my hesitation and losing my independence and my personal family space. I'm still having that, and I'm still able to go up and move in with my mom and dad, or not with my mom and dad, but care for my mom and dad. Another thing that I had to overcome was trusting the Lord with the place that he had for me after I'm done with living in my parents' home, if they sell their home or whatever it is. And I've had many conversations with the Lord about that. Like, Lord, I can't afford to rent a home in the cities. I'm priced out. I don't want to work full-time just to pay the rent. And those kind of conversations. But obviously this was a trust issue, and I knew it. So God is showing me the next step in the path, not the whole path. I had to loosen my tight grip on my current home and cheap rent and open my palms and let it go. Then one day, I pulled into the driveway and so clearly heard the Lord say to me, "Renee, you call this place a best blessing not because of the location, but because you saw my hand in it and my provision for you. Trust in me again and take me with you. I will go with you and I will dwell in your future places." And so that's when I became almost giddy for being obedient to the Lord. I realized that my current home was my Brook of Cherith, my place to heal and rest and prepare for the next part of my journey, and that is which to come. So at the same time, I was dealing with my mom's health condition and all these decisions that need to be made. I was also dealing with the heartbreak of someone that I dearly love and wanted a future with being diagnosed with terminal cancer and given just a few months to live. So how do I support him and help him through his various stages of grief when I'm going through my own? And I had to go through the process of releasing my hopes and my dreams and my future with this person. And it was a very, very difficult and a very trying time, but yet the Lord is so gracious, and he led me through it every step of the way with praise, peace, and joy. 7 years ago, the Lord planted me in Cannon Falls. At that time, I had a husband of 24 years. I had twins who were in the early young adult stages and going off to college. I had two young teenagers and two preschoolers. The youngest one was 16 months old. After attending Riverwood for just a few months, my life blew up from the bomb of adultery and an unwanted divorce. So I remember thinking, why, Lord, why did you move us to Cannon Falls, knowing that everything was going to fall apart just a few months later? Why did you take me out of my support system and away from my family? I knew nobody here except for a few of you at Riverwood Church. But I've come to realize that he had me in the right place at the right time for highly important reasons. I was so broken. I felt like the word pain was written on my forehead, and everybody could see it. And you did see it. This church body noticed, and they cared for me, and they loved me through it. He has blessed me so abundantly through Riverwood Church. The incredible people, the prayer network, the pastors, and just the very heart of this church. And I am so grateful for this church body and for the privilege of working here for the past 3.5 years. And by the way, it was only supposed to be for a summer. So even though I am transitioning to the cities and will be up caring for my parents, I am still going to continue to work here remotely as the Lord leads. So that's my story of how God is working in my life. How is he working in yours? Do you see it? Are you joining him in his work? Will you trust that he has purpose in it? What's he calling you to do? Because something down the road depends on this stretch of pavement that you're on now. Thank you.
Try to win this war, I confess. Hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. Don't matter what I take, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could. truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want you on, Lord, and nothing less.
Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." James 4 reminds us, "You do not receive because you do not ask." Too often, we approach prayer like a text message or an email or a hastily left voicemail. The reality is, God wants conversation and relationship. Psalm 5:3 says this, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." With that thought in mind, I'd like to ask you to be still. Close your eyes, bow your head, or raise your hands, however you like to pray. I'd like to ask you to take 3 deep breaths. Jesus in, and all the trouble of the world out. Jesus in, trouble out. Jesus in, trouble out. Now imagine or think of a perfect, peaceful place to talk to God. It might be on a beach, in a field, in the woods, or just in a quiet place in your home. We pray. Father God, we thank you for being who you are. You know the plans you have for us, plans to prosper Riverwood and not to harm us, plans to give hope and a future. Furthermore, you commission us with 1 John 3:18. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Father God, we lift up your ministries here. Kids Live, Awana, RSM, Treehouse, Men's Breakfast, Women's Ministry, Retreat, Book Club, Bible Studies, Parenting Studies, Connect Groups, Missions here and abroad, on campus, and in our community. Colossians 3:2 tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. We want to lift up to you our collection projects, Lord, not ours, but yours. We pray now for our shoe boxes and the boxes that we have collected for refugees. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lay on our hearts a child, that we would see a face and know a need, Lord. We ask that you teach us to be your hands and feet. These are your boxes, Lord. You know what child will receive this box. You know exactly what needs to be in this box. We know you can use every pencil, ball, pair of socks for your glory, for your purpose, not ours, Lord. We thank you for the promise of 2 Chronicles 16. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Father God, we give you our hearts. Almighty Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit, that we may be your hands and feet in our homes, our churches, our communities, and the world. I leave you with Matthew 21:22, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Amy. You know, when Jesus was with his disciples, he would often say things that was very confusing to them. And we read it, we read the Gospels, it kind of makes sense because we know the end of the story. We know what Jesus meant most times when he spoke to his disciples, but they had no idea what was going on. We see Jesus taking a towel and washing his disciples' feet. We see that as he meant it, which was, I want you to serve one another, and I'm showing you how to do that. But for them, they saw their teacher do something that a servant should do. And that was not something that was right. Peter objected to being washed. And when that night, when Jesus broke the bread, it wasn't just a loaf of bread that he was sharing. The disciples were expecting him to break the bread and to pray over it. They were not expecting him to say, this is my body. And when he poured the wine and prayed over the wine, he did not expect them to say, this is my blood. That's shocking stuff. And even back in the early church, they were accused of being cannibals for eating flesh and drinking blood. But that would be to take what Jesus said very literally. And he meant, of course, something much richer and deeper than that. Well, we're going to come to communion this morning, and we have a plastic cup that's filled with juice, and we have a tasteless gluten-free wafer that's in a cellophane package. But these are not what they appear to be. Because when we take them, we're taking them because they symbolize something richer and deeper. And so it is when we come to communion. We can come and we can do the act of eating a wafer and drinking some juice. Or we can make it special. Because Jesus said, I've come for you. I've come to give my life for you. And so for those of us who are believers today, we get to partake in the body and the blood of Jesus through this wafer and this juice. And we get to understand something about what it is to be in communion with our Savior, who gave his life so that we might have ours. Whenever you are ready, you come, take a wafer and a cup, go to your seat, return to your seat, and just as the Lord leads you, just take a moment to thank him for the price that he paid for your freedom, your life, and your fellowship with him. Father, thank you for this morning. What a great morning to hear how you've worked in lives. And if we had the time for every person to speak, there would be something deep and rich to share about the love that you've given to each of us. And so we want to just take a moment now, and just in our own private time of reflection, just to thank you once again, Lord, just for the way in which you work, and to reaffirm our hope, our only hope, is in you. Come when you're ready.
Worthy, worthy, worthy. talents that God has given us to serve this body in the community. Have a blessed day.